last September, or it was a year past September, I was here last. And it is just, it's such a joy to be back. But it's just, it's such a joy to be at a fellow West of Scotland Gospel Partnership Church, as we are at Calderwood Baptist. So yeah, for some of you, as Paul said, a lot of you do know me. If you don't, my name is Craig. My family and I go to Calderwood Baptist. So I'm married to Carly. Anna is just finishing P4. Sam is finishing P1. Ronnie and Aileen send their greetings. They are doing well. They're both happily retired. They're currently on holiday somewhere that, I don't know, they go wherever they go. Don and Neil are up in Skye. They're actually currently at Port Ban. So they send their greetings. And Mark and Pauline and Amy and Duncan and all their kids, they worship at Denniston Baptist, as Mark's the pastor there. So they do send their greetings, and it is a joy to be here. I actually thought that Paul had hacked into my laptop and saw some of my notes for this evening, because I generally thought he was going to pick the Sam that I focused on. So Paul did say, I've got a free hit. I was going to say an open goal, but as a defender, you don't want me in front of goal. But we're in Psalm 100. So if you can open your Bibles to Psalm 100. Just as we're turning, let me pray, and then I'll read the Psalm. Father God, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to gather, Lord, as your people, to remember, as we have just done, Jesus on the cross. Lord, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for dying in our place. Lord, I thank you for the prayers that have been said at the time of focus around our communion table. Father, would you help us to focus once more on your word this evening? And as Paul has said, Lord, give us energy, give us a desire, give us ears to hear and eyes to see from your word. And we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as somebody who is wired, who is geared towards children and youth work, I often open with a question. So my opening question this evening is, if I was to say the initials BGS, what would you say that stood for? BGS. I'll give you a couple of seconds to think about it. BGS, I don't know if anyone's trying. It's not a band. It's not some 90s, noughties kind of GLS and knockoff band. I'll give you a wee clue. Here is their logo. Oh, there's the answer. Okay, so BGS is the British Geological Survey. Did anyone know that when I said BGS? No, I didn't think BGS. I didn't think you would. Why am I saying that? Well, when we get to our Psalm, I'm going to hopefully link it together. Does anyone know what the British Geological Survey do? Antarctic? Nearly, kind of. They monitor and track earthquakes across the United Kingdom. All right. And last November, did you know that there was a mini earthquake not too far away from here, just maybe 4 or 5 miles from where we're sitting here this evening? And I don't know if you can see it on the screen, but between 9:45, so 9:45 and 9:50 on the 18th of November, there was in fact a mini earthquake. And I love the fact that you guys are all blank faces. Brizo might have an idea of what caused the mini earthquake, but I'm going to give you a spoiler. Here it is. All right, so Scotland fans shook the earth in our win over Denmark. And it was so hard to prep for this evening, knowing that I was going to be preaching this evening, not knowing the outcome of last night's game. But the aim of tonight is to relegate the football and to elevate God, to elevate his word. So we're going to do that as we read Psalm 100. So let's do that right now. Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. So that is why we are here this evening. Now, the Tartan army might have had a joyful noise that night in November, but what a joyful noise that we are called to make when we grasp the good news of Jesus. And we're going to take Psalm 100 in two parts this evening. Okay, I'm going to give you two headlines, and if you can remember these headlines, then we're doing well. And I love how Paul said energy, because I feel like we need some energy. And Willie was saying that this morning you guys had your prize-giving service. We also had our prize-giving service at Calderwood, and I was on the message. So this is the double portion for this evening, and I hope that I can give some of the joyfulness that the psalmist is talking about. But the two headlines that I want us to leave here this evening with is as follows. God is God. That's the first headline. God is God. And then the second headline, God is good. If we can leave here this evening remembering that God is God and God is good, then we're doing well. So let's look into the psalm and let's see what the psalmist has to say. Let's reread verses 1 and 2. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Make a joyful noise. Serve the Lord and come into his presence. A threefold call. The psalmist is directing God's people, the people of Israel, God's chosen people. He's calling them to worship. And in verses 1 and 2, he gives a threefold call. So we too, as followers of Jesus, as we have just taken communion together, we are called to worship God, the creator of all. And in that calling, we are told in these verses that we are to make a joyful noise to the Lord. So question number 2, where do we find our joy? We're all different. We're all wired different. God has given us different talents, abilities, interests. Where do we find our joy? And as I said in my intro, the Tartan Army find their joy when the national football team is doing well. For others, it could be walking, could be the West Highland Way. For others who are musical, I'm not musical, it could be going to a concert or to a gig. But how about church? Does gathering each week and midweek with fellow believers stir your heart with joy? When you sing in church, do you make a joyful noise? The psalmist declares, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. So the first readers of this psalm, they would have been, as we've said, God's chosen people. But this call to worship goes beyond the first readers and to those who are on the outside. God made the whole earth and everything in it. Therefore, the whole earth is called to give praise to the Lord. So never let anyone or anything, including yourself, stop you from making a joyful noise to the Lord. But you may be thinking, yeah, but I can't sing. Well, guess what? That actually doesn't matter. Often folks who are new to church really struggle with this concept of corporate singing. And I really do get that. But if you don't know the songs, how could you possibly sing? If you don't think you're a good singer, then that doesn't stop you from praising God. Why? Because it's not about us. It's about the Lord. Our praise is to God and it is for God. It is for Him and Him only. Verse 1 says that we are to make a joyful noise to the Lord and no one else. So as Paul said, I used to be a member here. Our family used to be a member here. We had our membership at Westwood Hill. And I must have been late high school, early college years, and it was around the time of the first iPods. And young people, that's now on your phones. But before we had our music on our phones, we had these things called MP3 players and iPods. I couldn't afford an iPod, but I had an MP3 player. And I still remember this occasion. It was one of the first opportunities where I could get music from the computer onto a device. And I was walking from a house in St. Leonard's, over in St. Leonard's, walking to the centre. And then one of my favourite worship songs I'd put on my device, and I was just belting it out. And then I suddenly opened my eyes and saw my old lollipop lady just staring at me, going, "What is he doing?" But it was just one of those opportunities where I was generally making a joyful noise to the Lord. And I didn't actually care if anyone was listening or watching me. Don't let anybody stop you from making a joyful noise to the Lord. If when I said, "Is church your joyful place?" if you said in your heart, "Yes," then that is so good. Church should be our joyful place when we praise God. That's a great answer. If you're a church member, then you are needed by your church. And your church needs you. And you need your church. Because we're all called to serve. But notice these words in Psalm 100, that we are called not just to serve, but to serve with gladness. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. So are you serving here at Westwood Hill? Brilliant. But more importantly, are you serving with gladness? I was preaching at CBC a couple of Sunday nights ago. We're in the book of Hosea, and I had chapters 8 and 9 in our preaching series. And one of my points was, in chapters 8 and 9, it's focusing on the northern kingdom of Israel. But God has basically said to them, "I don't want your worship. I don't want your sacrifices." Because the northern, at that point in Hosea's writing, the northern kingdom had turned their back on God and they started worshipping idols. And my point was to the folks at CBC that how is your heart when it comes to serving? Is it far from God? If so, God will see your heart. He knows our motives. So when we come to praise and when we come to serve, we need to come with gladness. And when it comes to worship, we are told by the psalmist to do so with gladness. So one of the keys to serving and to serving with gladness is to know your calling. Know and search where God has called you to serve Him. When you do, you'll find that in your serving, that is one of the most joyful moments in your week. And then you'll find it's one of the most joyful moments in your month. And then you'll find it's one of the most joyful times in your year. And then ultimately, when you look back in your life, when you are serving the Lord in His calling and through His power and authority and ability, then you'll see it's some of the most gladful times in your life. Know your calling when it comes to serving. And for folks like me and Elaine who serve at residential camps, we get to see that. And can I just take a moment and thank everyone for how well you have supported the fundraising efforts of the GB4 team, not just this year, but also in previous years. Thank you so much, Westwood Hill, for your support to Elaine and to our team at GB4. But when I see the team that we assemble each summer, not only do the campers have the time of their lives, but the team do as well. And I put that down to serving and calling. I don't have time to get into it, but there was a moment when we were doing some late night fun when the campers were in bed and we started playing a game. It's effectively like volleyball. And I'm a sporty kind of guy, and I knew that I was having a great time. But before I got a chance to say how well my team were doing, because we were beating the other team, two of my fellow teammates, we came in and they said, "Isn't GB4 the best time of the year?" And as a team leader, I didn't have to say anything because the two of them were just so encouraged by how well the camp was going. When you know your calling and when you know God's gift and ability in your life and you put that and you give that back to God, then you do so with so much gladness. When you serve God in his strength and in his calling, then you serve with gladness. And as the psalm goes on, we get to our headline, number one, verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. How good it is to know that. That we are created, that we are God's. The one and only God. We are his people, his sheep. What a comfort. To know God is God and that we are his. When we get that, then verses 1 and 2 make complete sense. And in my prep, this is what I was thinking about. Does anyone recognise the Penrose Stairs? That's what came into my mind when I was prepping for this evening. So the Penrose Stairs, if you don't know it, then it's there on screen. And no matter which point on the staircase you pick, if you either go up the stairs or down the stairs, you find that you don't either get any further up or any further down. It's some, I don't know the science behind it, but it's just some illusion. But this is what I thought of when I thought of verses 1, 2, and 3. Because when we see in Psalm 100, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing, know that the Lord, he is God. When you take verse 3, no wonder the psalmist writes verses 1 and 2, because he knows the Lord. He knows that God is God. Therefore, if you know that God is God, then of course you're going to come into his presence. You're going to make a joyful noise, and the staircase goes on and on. Our worship goes on and on. I love how the psalmist says that we've to know that the Lord, he is God. When we know this, when we know God's word, when we know that God is the creator of all things, and when we know what Jesus has done, when we know that Jesus is God's Son, who is the way, the truth, and the life, when we know God's Spirit working in us, binding us to him, then it changes our life. Midweek, much like yourselves, our children and youth ministries have finished now. And during the week on Thursday there, it was our last night. And I was sharing with those who were there. So we gathered the children, we gathered the young people, we gathered their families. And I was telling them about John 20, verse 31. We don't have time to go there this evening. But my main point was that John, at the end of his gospel, tells his readers about the importance of believing. That when we believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and in believing that we will have life in his name. And all throughout this academic year with the young people, we have been through John's gospel. And every time John writes about believing, it takes you back to John chapter 20, verse 31. And isn't that the hope of all the ministries that we do at church? that we hope that not just children and young people, but we hope that all our ministries lead to folks believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and that by believing that then they will have life in his name. So when we come to worship, what we are singing about is so important. So if you can remember two things this evening, remember those headlines that God is God and God is good. If you still get energy and we're not too tired, if we can remember a third thing, remember this. And if you've seen this, then you'll be able to track with me. But there's an absolute brilliant clip on YouTube of Alistair Begg talking about the importance of worship and singing the correct worship songs. And his point is, Alistair Begg's point is, that we have to sing about what we know, not what we feel. So remember, God is God, God is good. And if you have the time, go home, YouTube, Alistair Begg, tell me what I know. And it's just wonderful to hear how Alistair clearly says to folks, don't sing about how we feel. Let's sing about what we know about God and what we read about in his word. How can you tell if a worship song is a good worship song? Well, ask yourself, is this song biblical? Am I singing scripture? And am I singing about what I know about God rather than how I feel? Those are just wee indicators that help me. And as I say, I'm not musical. So let's keep going. We're nearly there, but let's go for headline number two. God is good, verses 4 and 5. Let me reread them for us. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Are we thankful to God this evening? Think of some of the things in your life that you are thankful for, that God has provided. The psalmist is instructing God's people to remember to be thankful when they enter the temple. And he even gets them to think about what God has provided before they get to the temple. He's saying to them, look, before you enter his gates, enter with thanksgiving. When you get to his courts, get there with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. Part of the reason why I thought Paul hacked into my laptop is when I heard about praise gathering this year, and it was probably through Jennifer Moore, I was so encouraged to hear that this year at praise gathering, they're singing the song Christ is Victor. I don't know if you sing it here at Westwood Hill, but the guys at Praise Gathering are singing it this year. I wasn't aware of this song until Easter Sunday. It was the last song that we sung. And for the next 2 weeks, I couldn't stop listening to the Gettys song, Christ is Victor. And then I heard from Jennifer that they're singing it at Praise Gathering. And I thought, man, that is going to be some joyful noise. And as Paul says, over 500 people. So if you've got it in your tank, can you remember four things? Remember the two headlines? Remember that clip from Alistair Begg? And search out the Gettys, Christ is Victor. And then on Easter, as I said, on Easter Sunday evening, that was the last song that we sung. I went home and I messaged our worship leader at camp, and I said, we need to sing this song. And then he texts back and he said, we actually sung that song as well this morning. We can definitely sing it this summer. And I was just so encouraged. And then I've got my team at work to sing it as well. We had a team day, and Jennifer was saying that they're singing it at Praise Gathering. Talk about making a joyful noise. And let me just read you one line from the song. I'm not going to sing it, but this is what it says. With every tribe and with every tongue, we join the anthem of the angels and the triumph of the Son. Hallelujah. It's biblical. It's singing about God, and it's knowing about what he has done. Take a moment and imagine what it's going to be like for those of us who are believers in Jesus, just like what Paul was saying at the start of the service. When we get home, imagine what it is going to be like when we are praising God. Believers from every tribe and every tongue down through the ages and the courts of heaven, giving thanks and blessing the name of Jesus. How good is that going to be? How good is God that he calls us to be a part of his family through his son Jesus? Verse 5 gives us our second headline. God is good. And does it not get any better than this verse from verse 5? For the Lord is good, that's the headline. But look at these words. His steadfast love endures forever. God's steadfast, unwavering, firmly fixed love. John 3:16, for God so loved the world. Love that endures forever. God's love for his people, even as disobedient as they were back in the time that the psalmist was writing it, and even in the time of Hosea, just as we are now, we are so easily turned away from God and from his love. We are so quick to make joyful noises about the most earthly material things. Yet God is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Jesus at the cross demonstrated to the world God's steadfast love. And Jesus endured the pain and the affliction at the cross, all in our place. And he defeated sin forever. This is such good news. So much better than anything that we can consider to be enjoyable or good. Jesus' victory on Easter Sunday is the best news that we will ever know. And as we come to finish, let's just finish where the psalmist finishes. God's faithfulness reaches all generations. What a privilege it is to know God. What a privilege to know that he is good. So what do we then do? Well, of course, as the psalmist says, we've to go and tell the generations. And we're approaching summer. And summer provides us with some great opportunity to tell others of the good news of Jesus. And we've got children and young people on our doorsteps in the communities of East Kilbride. They are so open right now to hearing something from the Bible, something of the good news of Jesus. And that is what we've to do. We have an opportunity, not just to tell children or young people, but we have an opportunity to tell others that God is God, God is good, and God is faithful. And he has promised that whoever believes in his Son will have eternal life. But it's not always easy to be a follower of Jesus. And I'm sure the psalmist knows that, and I'm sure you guys know that as well. We should never be quick to say that God has promised health or wealth when you put your trust in Jesus. It's simply not true. So what do today's children and young people, what are they particularly good at? Well, they're really good at sensing authenticity. They're really good at sensing when something is the real deal. So when we get opportunities to do holiday clubs, like you do at Westwood Hill, when you get opportunities to do Maranatha Camp, then you're providing opportunities for children and young people to see authentic followers of Jesus. And when children and young people see authenticness, then they start to ask questions. And they'll ask you about questions about God, about Jesus, about the Bible. What an opportunity summer provides. And I was speaking, part of my job is to go around, I'm the Glasgow worker for Scripture Union Scotland, so part of my job is to go to different churches across the city. Just last week, I was in a church in the city centre, and I was asked to speak at their prayer meeting. And I was highlighting to them the fact that we get opportunities at SU groups in schools, which would last maybe about 40 minutes, a typical lunchtime. And we get to open the Bible at those times. But then we get to missions, and then we get to residentials. And my point to the prayer meeting was, if you were to calculate, if you were to somehow time the amount of opportunity you get at an SU group for the year, and you're talking maybe 10 minutes, and it's not every single week of school, but you so quickly eclipse that length of time when you're doing a holiday club, when you're opening the Bible for nearly 2 hours for 5 days straight or 7 days straight. No wonder so many Christians can testify part of their testimony starts at a summer mission or a summer residential, because we have time. We get more time in a residential week or a mission week compared to that of just maybe an SU group at a school or a week at Sunday school. We have to tell the next generation of God's faithfulness, that his steadfast love endures forever. So as we close, think of the headlines. We already know today's media headlines, and we'll probably already know tomorrow's newspaper's headlines. But as followers of Jesus, we have such a better and more joyful news to declare than some scrolling. We know that Jesus Christ died and he rose again. That good news didn't just shake the world then, but it shook the world forevermore. It hasn't stopped and it won't stop. And we have opportunities this summer to share that good news. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus, Lord. We thank you that Jesus is the victor, that he died on the cross. And Lord, what looked like defeat is the ultimate victory. And Lord, I thank you that tonight we have stopped and we have remembered Jesus' body and Jesus' blood. Father, help us to continue that this week, that we may make a joyful noise to the Lord. Not just with what we say, Lord, but how we conduct our lives. Father, we pray by the help of your Holy Spirit that we would live for Jesus. And by doing so, Father, we have the opportunity to tell others. Lord, we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Just leaves me on your behalf to say thank you to Craig. I want to endorse what he said about Beg. I've seen that clip. I've watched it. It is really thought-provoking if you can take the time, if you can remember, and if you have any more energy in your tank, go into it. Tell me what I know. The Glaswegian in Beg comes out in it, and it's very powerful. Very powerful. So it's only 5 minutes, Craig? Not even that? But it made me think about what I'm singing. It really did. And I'm not much of a singer, as you know. So, Craig, thanks once again. Folks, please take time to speak to Craig individually if there's anything he said that you wish to chat to him about. If not, have a great week. And we look forward to seeing you back next Sunday. I think it's here. I'm the guy that books the people. I think it's Ian Jimson next Sunday, his first visit to Westwood Hill. So have a great week, folks, and may the Lord bless you and keep you. Good night.